I would trade him if I could.
I don't think many people liked it, to be honest. I don't care.
Last year didn't really do well for anybody.
We should probably delete all of this.
By the laws of the podcast gods, we owe an answer. Recording the Highline with Rabbi in Red. Talking the rapids and turning heads. With questions from you and analysis. In your car or in your home. Thank you for tuning to Holding the Highline.
Hello, Rapids fans. You are listening to Holding the Highline with Rabbi in Red. My name is Matt Pollard. We are brought to you by Icarus FC and Roughneck Scarves, and we are part of the Beautiful Game Network. It is Tuesday, March 16th, 2021. On behalf of myself, Horik Smith, Kevin Doyle, Jeff Lorenowitz, Ollie LaRoz, and Andrew Lewis Foster, happy St. Patrick's Day to all those who are celebrating. I look forward to later this week, double-fisting Shamrock Shakes and pints of Guinness. We've got a bit of a truncated show for you this week. Mark and I weren't able to record on Monday or Friday, respectively. I wanted to record tonight with the Colorado Rapids playing two scrimmages earlier today against Portland and Phoenix Rising, respectfully. Mark wasn't really feeling well this week, so he wanted the night off, and then obviously I have ethnic and heritage obligations tomorrow on Wednesday, the 17th of March, and so if we couldn't record on Monday or Friday, and then Tuesday and Wednesday we couldn't both get together, if we were going to record on a Thursday, then at that point you're not listening to it by Friday, and if we're dropping a pod on Friday, we might as well not do one this week. So it'll be a solo pod in the first half from me tonight. I will talk about those two rapid scrimmages, and I was able to land two interviews, so I'll be playing those for you later on in the episode. We'll be hearing from Ollie LaRoz and Michael Edwards, two Rapids homegrown players. But first, let's get to the scrimmages at hand. Earlier today, the Colorado Rapids played two 45-minute scrimmages. The first one was against Portland Timbers FC, and then the second was against Phoenix Rising of the USL Championship. We got a bunch of details on this folk dropped by the Colorado Rapids website in preseasons of years past. Normally, we don't get a whole lot of information. Sometimes there isn't even a schedule. If we do get a scrimmage, all we'll hear is that the game was actually played. We won't get any highlights. We won't even get a lineup, a formation, much less, you know, if we're lucky, we'll get a final score of the game. But maybe if we're lucky beyond that, we'll get goal scorers, but then we won't get full lineups. So we actually have full lineups as well as some commentary that the Rapids put out. I wouldn't anticipate that we'll be seeing, you know, 4 to 5 minute highlight reels of the game that was actually played. But in any case, the starting 11 for the Rapids in the game against the Portland Timbers were A. Rodriguez in goal. On the back line, we had Keegan Rosenberry, Lawless Abubakar, Danny Wilson, and Steven Badesher. And then in the midfield, it was Jack Price, Kellen Acosta, and Eunice Nomley. And then up front, I presume, Nicholas Benese, Andre Shinoshiki, and Michael Barrios. Michael Barrios scored the first goal of the game in the 18th minute of a really good long ball from Danny Wilson. The Rapids seemed to start really positively leading up to that. And then they scored their second goal for the 2-0 victory in the one half in the 42nd minute on some link-up play that included Danny Wilson, Eunice Nomley, Nicholas Benese, and then Shinoshiki, who found Kellen Acosta. So good to see Kellen getting an eye for a goal early on in the season. And that's all she wrote. That was the game 2-0 to the Colorado Rapids. Then in the second game against Phoenix Rising, it was Andre Rawls in goal along the back line, Jeremy Kelly, Courtney Ford, huzzah, Drew Moore, and Sebastian Anderson. Then it was Colin Warner, Ollie LaRoz, and Nicholas Mosqueda with Matt Hunley, Darren Yappi, and Yaya Toure starting up front. I would presume, listeners, we can definitely read into players who played against the MLS opponent with the other starters from this past year relative to players who are playing, who played in the second scrimmage against USL team with other players who were bench players last year. Certainly this is an indication that Drew Moore or Colin Warner won't be playing regularly this season, but at least this is an early indication of where the depth chart is at in terms of Robin Fraser's selection. So in any case, it was another 2-0 victory for the Colorado Rapids. The first goal was scored by Ali Larraz in the 12th minute. Looks like he Larraz is pressing hard. He steals it in the box and slots it home and gets high praise from head coach Robin Fraser on the bench. And the second goal, just a couple minutes later in the 22nd minute, Sebastian Anderson setting up Yapi, who then finds Matt Hunley, who then scores off of the post. So a really good shot there. Substitutions include Michael Edwards and Dylan Serna coming in for Courtney Ford and Sebastian Anderson, respectively. And then Philip Mayaka also came into the game as well. So lots of minutes for a lot of different players, some good moments from some of the young guns as well, and ultimately two positive results. I don't normally take a lot away from these preseason games. Like I said before, everybody's in preseason form. They're still figuring things out. And ultimately, you know, winning games in the preseason doesn't help you in terms of the actual table. But for a preseason game, two preseason scrimmages, two preseason halves, where normally we don't get a whole lot of details, the details that I'm seeing, both in the scoreline and how teams played, I'm struggling to find negatives about the Colorado Rapids. I'm seeing Michael Barrios, who is new to the team, getting a goal. I'm seeing some good link-up play that led to a goal for Kieran LaCosta, and I'm seeing some good moments from the young players, and Ali Larraz getting a goal as well in the second scrimmage against a quality USL opponent. So definitely in terms of anything that happens so far in preseason, folks, or anything that happens the rest of the way while the team's in Tucson, you know, take everything with a grain of salt, or rather a healthy four-finger pinch of it. But from what little we can glean from this, from, you know, a game that's ultimately a warm-up to the start of the season, lots of really, really early positives, and that's really encouraging. And we're seeing those positives, as I said, you know, from players at the, you know, from players who were starting last year, who we expect to be a big part, and some of the young players who maybe are still fighting for, are we going to be with the first team? Am I going to be loaned out to the switchbacks, or is something else helping for me? So I don't know if everything's coming up Millhouse, but at least from what we've seen from the first two scrimmages and the early returns from preseason, it's hard for me to say that things are going bad for the Rapids, at least not as bad as they've gone for Millhouse in some episodes of the Simpsons. So that's good to hear for the most part. If there were any bad things to take out of these scrimmages, it's not so much the scrimmages themselves rather than who we were missing. The Rapids announced there were a couple of players who were unavailable for these scrimmages. First, all four players who were on international duty for Olympic qualifiers were not available for selection. So I would presume then that means that whatever quarantine or getting reacclimated with the team between Cole Bassett and Austin Trusty, who did not make the 20-man squad for CONCACAF Olympic qualifying, they haven't yet reintegrated into the team to partake in those friendlies. And then obviously Sam Vines and Johnny Lewis, who are still in Guadalajara and getting set to play Costa Rica this Thursday in the first game of the group stage, were also not available. And then the Rapids announced that there were a couple of injuries. Brian Galvan was out, the two number one and number two goalkeepers in Clint Irwin and William Yarbrough were unavailable, as was striker Diego Rupino. I reached out to the club for comment, and they said that they're dealing with various things between the four players. It's nothing serious and nothing long-term, so I wouldn't read into those four guys missing the first two scrimmages of the season, and therefore they'll be unavailable for the start of the season. That is very much not the case. You know, I would anticipate that they'll be getting back into training in the not-too-distant future. Coming up for the Colorado Rapids, they'll be having their next preseason scrimmage on the 20th of March. That is Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, it is Saturday. And then on March 27th, they'll be taking on New Mexico United as well. And so pretty much from then on out, they're playing every week to every couple of weeks, including they'll have three games in 8 days from April 3rd to April 10th to close out their time in Tucson. That'll be a part of the Visit Tucson Sun Cup. They'll be playing on April 3rd, RSL. They'll be playing the LA Galaxy on April 7th and then closing out that with a second game against Phoenix Rising. So we'll look to see what news we get from the friendly against Sporting Kansas City later this week, and then obviously next week we'll be looking at New Mexico United. I would assume by the time we get there that Cole Bassett and Austin Trusty will be reintegrated in with the squad, and then we'll see what happens in terms of those four injured players, whether or not they're partaking in those two friendlies or any of the Tucson of the Visit Tucson Sun Cup. Let's move on to a couple of the interviews that I did. We'll be starting first with Ollie LaRoz. I talk about some of the adventures that he has had outside of the Colorado Rapids, being, you know, I would say one of the most, this is going to sound weird, but purest Rapids homegrown, in that he was one of the first additions to the Rapids Academy. He was there pretty much from the first year that the DA was in existence, and now it's come to fruition in the form of him joining the Colorado Rapids. And then Michael Edwards, who's done more of a there and back again from growing up in Virginia, being a part of the DC Academy, having an interesting experience in the Wolfsburg Academy, and then with the Wolfsburg 2 team in the fourth division in Germany, the Regionalliga Nord. So two really good conversations, you know, two really good interviews where we get to know the players, get to know their pasts, and, you know, what they could bring to the Rapids and what their goals are for the 2021 season. We'll be starting with Ollie LaRoz, where I start the interview by telling him that I am a ginger and wishing him a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
How's preseason going so far? You know, are you getting along with the team, and have you made any new friends from some of the older first team players?
Preseason going well, kind of as expected, difficult, tiring, but, you know, really good learning experience. And then as far as new friends go, yeah, I mean, pretty much all of them. It's a really cool team, and there's really only good characters on this team. So, you know, you turn a corner and you meet a new guy that's really interesting and helpful.
There's a lot of really strong veterans, particularly at the midfield position. If we talk about Jack Price, who was the captain last year, and Kellen and Cole, who've started to get into the national team. You know, have you developed any sort of mentor relationships? Has anybody really taken you under your wing to help you show the ropes?
Yeah, I think all those people you mentioned, as well as like Eunice Nomley, he really helps me with attacking scenarios. And just, you know, he's a great guy to watch because he does things that you don't see. But definitely Jack Price as well. I mean, he's such a professional about everything he does and the way he handles situations on the field. So I've definitely tried to kind of be his understudy and kind of see what he does and why he does it and things like that. So it's been a good learning experience.
In terms of Rapids homegrowns recently, you're one of the longer tenured youth players. You know, I remember Cole and Sam were at other clubs in the Front Range and then joined the Rapids as teenagers. You were, I think, 9 or 10 years old when you joined the club. What do you remember about joining the club? And, you know, does that journey feel like it's come full circle in you now being a pro with the Rapids?
Yeah, I mean, I started pretty much when the academy started for my age group because I'm only like 10 minutes away from the stadium my entire life. That's where I've lived. So yeah, just for it to, you know, start there 10 years ago from now and then finally come full circle and to be involved in the first team and the group that I watched for so long, is it's special. You know, it makes it definitely a little bit more special to me.
I remember Cole, now granted, he signed with the club, I think, in June or July, so it was in mid-season, so that was kind of weird timing, but he mentioned how it took a couple months for it to, like, feel normal and then settle in and kind of get, you know, grounded. You know, is it starting to feel normal to say Ollie LaRoz, professional soccer player for the Colorado Rapids, or is the kind of new shine still giving you a bit of a buzz?
Yeah, there's definitely still a bit of a buzz. Even though I've been with you guys for a little while now, it's, you know, you still don't really realize it until certain things happen. People recognize you, you know, you see yourself somewhere and you're just like, man, that's crazy that I'm actually in that position now. But yeah, I'm definitely still a little bit in disbelief.
I want to talk about your time in Germany at MSV Duisburg. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I know your time might have been a disappointment, you know, in that you didn't get a first team contract, but, you know, you were a teenager living in another country, speaking another language, and experiencing a different environment to the Rapids that I have to imagine helped you grow as a player. How did your time in Germany, you know, change and help you as a person and as a professional?
Yeah, more than anything, I did it to just kind of get out of my comfort zone because I've been, you know, in the same situation for so long, and I felt like in order to grow, I needed that. And it definitely was, you know, there were some difficult times. I had to learn how to live by myself and make decisions for myself. And in the long run, I'm really glad I did it because I think when I came back from that, I was better as a person off the field and a little bit tougher on the field as well. So I improved on areas of my game that I wouldn't have been able to if I hadn't tested myself and gone out of my comfort zone.
How's your German, and have you spoken German with Michael Edwards yet?
My German was okay. I've lost quite a bit of it now, but no, we usually converse in English. Just, you know, more comfortable.
Absolutely. Okay. Similarly, I want to know about your time at the Barcelona Academy in Arizona. What was that like, and how would you rate yourself compared to the rest of the team in terms of 5v2 Rondo?
It was definitely a great experience. I went there and I didn't really know what to expect, but immediately it was an extremely high level of professionalism, especially from a youth academy, and the way that the players handled themselves and the organization just all together, which was really nice. Unfortunately, it was cut short for me because of an injury and just because of COVID. But yeah, they play some good soccer, and the 5v2 Rondo was quite quick. It was good.
Good stuff. I want to know about your style of play. Obviously, you would have been watching the, you know, Rapids in the heyday of midfielders when it came to the latter part of Pablo Mascherini's career, Sam Cronin, Jeff Lorenowitz, and then obviously the first team players now. Is there a player, you know, either who you watched in the past or you watch right now, pick anybody from MLS or the national team or Europe who you watch and you see a lot of yourself in, or that you try to emulate to help you grow?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I try and kind of go after Kevin De Bruyne, Frankie De Jong, these midfielders that are both good attacking and defensively. I'd say more so almost Frankie De Jong when he's in a little bit more of an attacking position, because I like to do both sides of the game and but still get into the attack. So I think he's a really good example of how to control the game and be a smart player.
I've had this conversation with Cole a couple of times as kind of his role within the team has evolved. So I'm not going to hold you to this at all, but I think it's a fun little starting off point. You know, in that regard, to your point, do you see yourself more as a number eight in the three-man midfield, kind of a 10-ish player? And then you mentioned, you know, having a relationship with Jack Price, who's more of a, who's the closest thing to a number six, and obviously a very active, versatile midfield that Robin Fraser's trying to play this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think I could see myself in all three of those positions, 6, 8, and 10. And to be completely honest, I don't really have a preference as to which one I go to, especially, like you said, in the midfield that we run, it's very fluid and you get into situations if you're the 6 where you might be in the 10 position and vice versa. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, but wherever the opportunity kind of comes up, I'll be willing to go into that position.
Is that versatility, is that almost something, is that something that you feel comfortable with?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something I bring to the table and something I'm going to continue to work on, because it gets you opportunities. You know, sometimes people are so strict to their abilities and their skill set that they can't really switch around positions. But, you know, if you can do that and you can bring that side to the game, then you'll get more opportunities.
Last big question for me, Ali. You know, I want to know, I know the club is going to start making decisions about loans and where players are going to be in the next couple weeks. And the club's been very open, at least in the past, with other youth players of, you know, maybe, you know, the guy doesn't need a lot of playing time, but he just needs to be around the first team and training with the first team to get comfortable. Other players have gone to the Springs, and other players have been loaned out to other USL teams, you know, that fit them better in the case of that year or in that moment. What's your goal for this season? What does success look like for Ali Larraz in 2021?
My goal for the season would definitely be staying involved in with our first team. I think it's something I can achieve and something that I want, but at the same time, you know, getting loaned out to a USL club or just being kind of a practice player in this situation, you're going to learn a lot, especially with the guys that we have involved. You know, they're going to help you no matter what. So I think no matter what the situation looks like, it'll be a pretty successful year.
Ollie, thank you very much for your time. Good luck with the rest of preseason. I look forward to watching you play and hopefully making your Rapids debut at DSG this year.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Willkommen, Colorado Rapids Footballverein.
Thank you.
Was my German okay, or was it pretty bad?
Wait, I was going to say that was German, but I didn't catch on to that.
We had a good laugh there. First of all, do you prefer Michael or Mike?
Either one is fine.
Either one's fine. Okay. How's preseason going? You know, how are you doing getting along with your new teammates and coaching staff?
Yeah, preseason's going really well. First week we got rolling pretty quickly, two a days. Leading up to the matches, we started to slow down a bit, lighten the load. But I feel good. I feel like I'm getting along with the group. Fit in well, I feel like. Everybody's been really welcoming and making me feel comfortable as a new guy. So, yeah, beginning, the start has been going really well.
Good stuff. Were you involved in any of the scrimmages today? And if so, how did that go?
Yes. Yeah, so I actually split minutes with Courtney Ford in the match against Phoenix. That went well. They were a good squad. We won 2-0. But no, that went really well. It was good to get my first minutes in preseason and hope to get more.
There's a few players on the team with a wealth of experience and character that you could learn from. I look at Drew Moore, who won an MLS Cup with the Rapids here in 2010. And then your new head coach, Robin Fraser, is widely regarded as one of the best center backs in league history. As a young player, how have you felt so far, you know, getting to be a sponge around those two and some of the other veterans on the team?
Yeah, it's been good learning from these guys. I know it hasn't been that long, but I've taken in a lot from Drew, a lot from Danny, Lalas. No, those guys have taught me a lot so far in this short amount of time. I have a long time with them, so I can't wait to keep learning from them. But yeah, just in these 2-3 weeks alone, I've learned a lot from those guys.
I'm curious about your time in Germany. What's the Wolfsburg Academy and second team like, and how did that time help you grow as a player and as a person?
Yeah, so my time in Wolfsburg was really good. It went really well. Started at the under-19 level, very competitive. That was very competitive. We had a very good team. Made it to the under-19 German national semifinal game. We lost to Stuttgart. But that was a really good year for me. I was able to break in with the first team in preseason. Spent about, I'd say, 5 weeks with them in preseason. Then I went up with the 23s from the under-19s, played matches with them throughout the year, trained with them for the majority of the amount of time. But yeah, my years in Germany were really good. Learned a lot, learned a different style, new culture. So that was really good.
And I have to imagine, you know, even though being at 20 years old, some of the other players who've recently signed with the Rapids, you know, they've been a part of the Rapids Academy. Most of them haven't been, you know, if they've traveled outside of the state or abroad, it's been, you know, for soccer related things. I have to imagine, you know, as a teenager going over to a new country, learning a new language, that helped you grow as a person and maybe be a little bit more worldly and have a better perspective, both that helps both on and off the field.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't realize it was going to be as difficult as it was off the field when I left. But it was a good challenge for me, you know. I didn't only grow on the field while I was there, but I also grew off the field, living on my own, having to take care of. I got a dog, having to take care of him on my own. No, it taught me a lot, just how it is to be on your own without your family and friends always around you. So that was good.
So I have to warn you, Mike, Rapids fans and Rapids Twitter are super obsessed with players and their dogs. What's the dog's breed? What's the dog's name? Is he or she here with you now or going to be with you in Colorado?
So mom is actually bringing him. She's going to drive him to Colorado at the end of this preseason. She's going to drive him. He's an American bully, and his name is Kodak, like a brindle color. Yeah.
Good stuff. And I guess you'll be pleased to know, though you wouldn't have been here this past election, Denver actually voted to end the ban on certain breeds, including bulldogs as well. So hashtag don't bully my breed. But getting back to soccer, prior to Wolfsburg, you were with the DC United Academy. What prompted both in the timing and the decision to go to Germany as opposed to staying with DC or maybe other opportunities that might have been on the table?
I could have stuck around at DC or take the college route, which my parents at first, they really wanted me to. They wanted me to go to college and start my degree and maybe just go for a year and then try and go pro. But I wanted to take that challenge on of going to Europe and seeing what that would be like. And putting college to the side, because I knew I could always go to college a little bit later. So yeah, I decided to make that jump over to Europe. I was there for 2.5 years. It went really well. No regrets. Come back to Colorado. I'm here. I'm excited to be here. And now I can start my degree online and go to school. So yeah, that's how that went.
Good stuff. People like to compare MLS to other leagues in Europe, but when it comes to comparing, you know, the not first division in a country to MLS, the only one that really comes up is England most times, often comparing MLS to the championship. You know, I'm sure a lot of people in American soccer don't have a good understanding of the lower divisions in Germany. I'd include myself in that. What's the Regionalliga Nord like from a quality and style of play-wise?
The Regionalliga was good. Very, very physical. Big guys, big, strong, fast, older guys. When you look at like the smaller clubs, that's when you come across the really big and strong and just competitive grown men, really. And then you look at like the Hamburgs and the Werder Bremens and the Wolfsburgs, and then you have younger guys who they're more developing and in being brought up from like the under-19s to the U-23s. So you look at those teams and you see smaller guys, but guys who are really good technically and tactically and things like that. They're not always the biggest or the strongest or the fastest, but they're quality players. And we're going up against grown men who are really big, strong, and fast. And in the smaller clubs, when you face those smaller clubs in the Regionalliga.
Good stuff. Last question here for you, Mike. What are your goals for the season? What does success look like for you in 2021?
Yeah, my goals are to learn as much as I can, not only from the guys in my position, but guys all on the team in every position. Hopefully make my debut. Super excited for that moment. Get minutes under my belt and just, like I said, absorb as much as I can and learn as much as I can from the guys around me, because these guys have been in the league for a long time, a lot of them. So learning, continuing to develop, making my debut and just working hard and seeing what can happen.
Mike, thank you very much for your time. Good luck with the rest of preseason. I look forward to watching you make your Rapids debut this year.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Rapids fans. I want to thank you for listening all the way to the end of this episode. I want to give you a couple little tidbits before we close out this week's show. First of all, I want to acknowledge our two sponsors. Icarus FC produce unique and completely custom kits for your youth, Sunday league squad, or adult team. They can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price with a motto, any design you want, seriously. Let Icarus FC design your next custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. And then our other sponsor is Roughneck Scarves. Roughneck Scarves are an official scarf supplier of MLS, USNL, and US Soccer. They also do non-medical cloth masks that loop around your ears, and they also are making neck gaiters. And they just recently started producing the thinner, warmer weather scarves as well. So obviously we all have those, you know, knit, thicker, wool-like, or even wool-made scarves. But, you know, when you have those in the middle of summer, you know, particularly for like a 4th of July game at DSG, that wrapped around your neck produces a lot of sweat and is super icky. So now they've got the lighter, I think it's acrylic style scarf that you can also get and get customized as well. So get your custom, all of that for your group, team, or office at Roughneck Scarves. We will not be going away next week. At this point, we're looking where Mark and I are probably going to start doing weekly episodes leading up to the start of the season. I have a couple of interviews still in the works, hoping to still get Woldy Harris, the other new assistant coach for the Colorado Rapids. And then we do want to have a proper Colorado Springs Switchbacks preview episode for Matt Cleveland and all the trailheads out there. Hopefully getting Brandon Burke sometime in the next week. And so one of those episodes in the next couple weeks will be dedicated to a Rapids perspective on the USL affiliate, the Switchbacks, what their season looks like. And hopefully by then we'll start to get some news in terms of players who could be loaned down to the Colorado Springs. So look out for that. Thank you again to Ali Laraz and Michael Edwards for their time this week talking to me. That's all I've got, folks. Listeners, we'll see you next week.